אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Joining us now, we have the creative director of the Jewish International Film Festival, Eddie Tamir. Eddie, welcome to SBS Hebrew.
Hi, Marielle. Thanks for being interested in what we do.
Very interested in what you do. So again, another year around the sun, and we've got so many feature films and documentaries. Before we actually needle down into some of the films and documentaries, I just wanted to ask you, Eddie, how do you manage to choose from the plethora of films that are out there? How do you cherry pick these films for the next Jewish International Film Festival?
Yeah, so it's a, you know, it's always kind of a hectic and messy process. You know, we travel to film markets and film festivals. We get stuff sent to us. We just generally see probably about, you know, 300 films a year, to cut it down to the 50-ish films that we've chosen. And, you know, films kind of stand out. You never know how they're going to go and what the word of mouth will be once people see them. Like, you know, it is still a piece of art. But, you know, generally we kind of pick big and small. So there's some big commercial films that we know are going to be a broad audience. And there are some niche films that we know maybe a small audience, but we know that that audience will love that film. So even though it might not be the biggest film, we know that will satisfy a whole section of people by programming some of the smaller films. So a big all year round hectic process. And and here we are.
I know that you attend the Berlin Film Festival because that's quite well known. Do you go to Venice or Cannes or any of the bigger ones? And I know that you've got some films from Israel as well. Is there a film festival in Israel too?
We go to Cannes and we went to Venice this year as well. Israel, well, I mean, that's a whole topic in itself, but Israel has a big documentary festival where a lot of documentaries are featured in Doc Aviv. Then it's got Jerusalem and Haifa film festivals where Israeli films would generally premiere. And then in years gone by, any significant Israeli films would feature at the Venice, Cannes or Berlin film festivals. Last couple of years, because of all the, hectic drama, there's generally a sense that Israeli films have not been generally accepted into international A-list festivals, which has been really sad and crazy. But we've found ways to find the films and see them.
And so have they been replaying the same films from years gone by, or was there an embargo on Israeli films, or was there an embargo on production in Israel because it wasn't lucrative, or what was the process there?
Israeli films are still being made. All our films are fresh and new, all premieres in Australia. And when you say embargo, well, you know, if a film festival like a Cannes or a Venice or a Berlin, who normally screen Israeli film documentaries and features, in the last couple of years have not invited them, the question is there a silent boycott, or do they consider the film's not good enough? And no one will ever know unless you're on the selection committee. But the fact is, many Israeli films which seem like they are good enough to qualify for international film festivals like they have in the past, haven't actually been invited. So that's the landscape.
Talking of the landscape, how do you curate the amount of films versus documentaries that you present?
We generally, you know, there's no rule of thumb, but somehow I guess it ends up being half and half. So documentary, film and feature narratives, 50-50. And then there's kind of generally a 50-50 split between Israeli productions and diaspora Jewish themed productions. So that's kind of how we roll, you know, as a rule. And of course, there's exceptions.
And obviously, there are documentaries about the October 7 attacks. Let's begin there. Sorry to start on quite a depressing note, but
One film that we have not, that was not included in the printed program, is a film called The Road Between Us. And that is based on the book, The Gates to Gaza. So this is one of our big films and best-selling book. And it's a story of Amir Tibon, who is a Haaretz journalist. He and his wife on the kibbutz down south with their two young daughters on October 7, locked in their shelter in their house. You know, he's a renowned journalist, calls many people, no response, clearly knows that there's like no help, calls his father, who is a retired IDF general, lives in Tel Aviv with his mother. He says, we don't know what's going on. You need to help us. So he and his wife go down south when nobody else is, and he goes to rescue his family. And the story is incredible. And the parents are incredible and very moving and a very important film. So Road Between Us. But this is the story really from the point of view of the father and the mother who answer the call to rescue their family in the craziest of circumstances, and you cannot believe what they go through in order to get there.
Why wasn't this printed in the original program?
Very good question, Marielle. And the answer is back to the landscape that we're in. So this film was accepted into the Toronto International Film Festival about 5 weeks ago. It was due to screen. It was invited and then disinvited. And it was disinvited with some cockamamie legalese argument by the board, which says that the Hamas GoPro footage that was used in the film did not have rights clearance from Hamas and the Hamas crew. So then it was disinvited based on that. Then there was a bit of an uproar from various parts of the community and society. And it got re-invited, and then it got screened, and it actually won the Best Documentary Award at Toronto really only 2 weeks ago. So it was that fresh. We were chasing this film for some time, but because of all the mess and what was going on and the whole drama, we didn't get it in time to put it in our printed program, but really privileged to be able to have it in our program, and it's screening quite a few times nationally.
Do you think that because of the results 2 weeks ago with receiving the last living hostages out of Gaza, that behooved you to change the program a little bit and focus more on October 7 because there is somewhat of a sense of closure, or was the program already finalized by then?
Yeah, program's already finalized. Program's already finalized really a couple of months before GIF, because we have to, you know, design, print the program, schedule the films and all of that. Tedious administration. It's definitely the last couple of weeks is not relevant to our programming, but what it is relevant to is, I guess, a general sense. One can feel a sense of relief and people are coming to GIF, in big numbers, enjoying themselves, and there's a certain a different kind of atmosphere than there was 3 weeks ago. And that's great. And it's great to see people enjoying themselves in a collective shared experience right now.
I can attest to that. I was there last night and it was swarming with people. So that
right.
was...
One of the reasons why it was so busy yesterday, we had a couple of films. One in particular was a series which we're really, again, proud and privileged to be involved in. So, again, in this landscape, Australian Jewish filmmakers and Jewish voices and storytelling of Jewish community in Australia, the filmmakers and the creators have found it difficult to raise funds for their films from the traditional sources of funding, from the commercial world of distributors, sales agents, as well as from government funding avenues. So we help fund brand new short films, and we have a competition, and there's a, you know, and a, we the scripts are read and decisions are made as to how we distribute the funds. A young producer called Jamie Beale Cower has come on board, and he runs the Jewish Australian Production Fund. And one of his charters is because the most films with Australian Jewish voices in them have found it difficult to raise funding, he's trying to find independent funding in order to support these filmmakers. So together, we've contributed a substantial amount of money for four short filmmakers to make films, which Jamie has produced, and they're all amazing. And it was a sold-out session last night with a Q&A with the short filmmakers, two from Sydney, two from Melbourne. There's one more screening of it in Melbourne, just by the way, and definitely urge people to see them. High quality. And the brief was to give a response to October 7 from an Australian Jewish perspective. And that was the task set, and all very special films.
We're running short for time, so I want to ask you about two more films. Can we pivot sure. to a comedy just to give a bit of levity? Sure. Bad Shabbos.
Yep. So Bad Shabbos won the best narrative film at the Tribeca Film Festival this year, American film, and it's been a sleeper hit, comedy hit in America. It's been playing in cinemas for like a year. It was our opening film. We're playing it many times during the festival. People love it. It's that traditional, the setup is a traditional Shabbat dinner. Parents invite their kids and their kids' partners and their in-laws. Some of them are Jewish, some of them are not Jewish. Has all those traditional tropes. And then it goes into a bit of a genre spin where someone on that night actually dies. So, and is dealt with in a very humorous, witty, comedic way, and people are loving the film.
Let's talk about the closing film, Nuremberg, with Russell Crowe.
Yep. So this, again, is a late addition to the program because just the way the industry works, sometimes you just don't get things in time. So Russell Crowe plays Hermann Göring amazingly. A lot of people reckon he's going to be nominated this year at the Oscars. And it's at the Nuremberg trials, before the trials begin, there is an American psychiatrist who interviews the perpetrators who are going on trial to see their mental state and to evaluate them before they go on trial. So it's the dynamic. It's based on a book between the psychiatrist and Hermann Göring, and it's very, very powerful, very dramatic, and Hermann Göring is clearly a piece of work, and Russell Crowe does an amazing job depicting him, and the psychiatrist obviously has his own dilemmas and his own personal journey. It's great that we've got such a high caliber film for our closing slot.
And I just want to note from you before we close today on Israeli cinema. What do you think the state of cinema is in Israel? And what do you think of the state of acting is there? Because we're quite used to seeing things like Fauda, any Mossad related series or movies coming out from Israel because art imitates life in that kind of way. What do you think that their capacity is in Israel? Is there some good stuff coming out of there?
Yeah, great stuff. I mean, the again, back to this landscape in inverted commas situation, raising money for Israeli film and TV production is very challenging at the moment. Israelis are still finding ways to make stuff, but it's really challenging, but they are producing incredible stuff. Our lineup this year is great. There's, you know, we have Matchmaking 2, which is a great comedy. We have Soda with the new, you know, star of Israeli cinema, Rotem Seller, who plays a female ex-capo that comes to a moshav in the 50s the drama that ensues there. We have The Ring with Adi Miller, who is one of the great comedians in Israel, who has made a film based on his Hungarian heritage, which goes obviously into the Second World War and the Holocaust, with his comedic black comedy edge. So great, great range of stuff playing at GIF, and there's great stuff to come. So we're right behind it. We're supporting it, and looks like the audiences are supporting it at GIF. So we're doing what we can, and so is the GIF audience, which is a great thing, and it's what we can do.
Thank you so much, Eddie.
No problem. See you all at the movies.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.